Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And welcome back to our show. It is so great to be back on the air with you. I am coming to you from my apartment in downtown New Orleans, where the station has set up some equipment so I can get back on the air, because it's still very difficult for me to get around. My next big challenge is surgery next week on my ankle, and possibly my ankle and my knee. And then I'll be on a road to recovery. So it's kind of frustrating. And many of you have been in this situation where, you know, you have to wait for surgery and you're just kind of in a holding pattern because nothing's going to get better until surgery, but you have to wait for the surgery. But again, in all of this, I have found so many positive things. So I want to spend a little time this hour talking about Jesse Smollett, the Empire actor, the actor from the TV show Empire, who apparently made up this story about being attacked by two people who were Trump supporters. Jesse Smollett is gay, and he's black. And when the story first broke, there were some inconsistencies that, I mean, I wasn't paying attention to it that closely. But in the beginning, there were some people who thought, something's not right about this guy's story. And as it turns out, more came up about the story being a hoax, that it didn't make sense. And now we've got two guys who have come forward and said, he paid us to attack him, and he wasn't hurt that badly, but he paid us to attack him to make up this story. And there are reasons floating around as to why he did it, that he wanted to be more popular, wanted to make up a story about being persecuted, being attacked. In other words, it seems like this was a publicity stunt. Bail has just been set at $100,000, which shouldn't be difficult for him to come up with, but also he has to surrender his passport. So we'll see what happens with this. We don't know the final details on all this, but it sure seems like this guy made up a story. And why is this so dangerous? It's so dangerous because there really are hate crimes. And I know some argue that, you know, any crime is a hate crime, and I certainly get that idea. But this guy, a guy who is gay, a guy who is black, a guy who has a political platform because he's an actor, this guy has so hurt and taken advantage of the very causes that he probably represents in his life. He's hurt the LGBTQ community. He's hurt blacks. He's hurt the honesty of politics. Not that there's much of that left. But, you know, I mean, here's a guy who really hurt a lot of people. And, you know, he's not in, his troubles are not as serious legally as they are in the court of public opinion and just socially. Because, you know, this was a horrible thing to do. I mean, this is like the woman who claims she was raped and she wasn't really raped. I mean, this so hurts the people who really are victims. And this guy was, like, in one interview after all this, he was crying. I don't understand why people don't believe me. It's so sad that they don't believe that I was beaten up by these guys wearing Make America Great Again hats and shouting the N-word and shouting the F-word. And I mean, he's making this incredible case for his cause, and apparently it's a farce. So, you know, really very, very tragic. If you would like to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870. It's area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. And as always, so welcome those of you who are listening around the country on your phones, your tablets, and your computers. You're very much a part of the show every afternoon. So we've been talking about what happened to me. It was 1 week ago that I was walking back from 80s night, a usual typical routine for me on Thursday night. It's something that I plan for. I don't do it every week, but most weeks I do it. It's just, it's my thing. You know, going to Thursday night, 80s night in the quarter, you know, it's kind of like my Cheers. You know, I don't, you know, people there know me. A lot of people know me as Scoot, but some people just know me because I'm a regular there on Thursday nights. And just we have this in common. We just enjoy 80s night. Great broad range of demographics, and you know, I've met a few people that I consider to be friends there, and I'm walking home, and I'm about two blocks from home, and I'm hit by a speeding motorcycle. And there again, there's so many lessons to be learned from this. By the way, if you go to our Facebook page, WWL Radio, during the news break just now, I just did a live Facebook post, so even though it was live at the time, that is still up there. In talking about some of the positive things that have happened as a result of this, and it's not about me as much as it is about looking for the positive when something bad happens. Because as bad as this is for me, I am so fortunate. And even if I would have lived through it, there's so much more that could have happened. I could be dealing with surgeries a lot more serious than ankle and knee. And I don't know how far I was thrown. I don't know how I landed. I mean, I could tell by the abrasions on my face that I landed. I was hit on my left side, landed on the right side of my face. But if my head would have hit a pole or hit something, the whole situation could be very different. And so, you know, maybe in my life, I'm going to start being a little more cautious in general. Not that I did anything wrong, but I might start to be a little more cautious in general. And I talked to you about this because maybe you should too. Let this happen to me, not you. Let this happen to me and you learn a lesson. Or you learn something from it about, okay, you know, I've been pretty brazen in my life, and I walk around, or I drive around, or, you know, sometimes I drive too fast, or I'm in and out of traffic, or I road rage a little bit here and there, and I try to get back at somebody on the road, and nothing has happened. Don't always assume that nothing will happen, because something could, and life is random. You know, the main reason that the outpouring of support and prayers and concern for me so deeply touches me is because, and many of you don't know this, but when I first started in radio, I was so young and inexperienced that I was put on the morning show on an FM station. WWL, I was working for WWL AM as a producer. I wanted to be on the air, so I got some experience on the air by driving to Mobile and getting some experience. And then I was given a position on the easy listening music. It was Joy 102. Easy listening, elevator music is what they used to call it. It's now Magic 101.9. But they put me on. Okay, we'll give him a shift. We'll give him the morning show. And they gave me the morning show because at the time, in the 70s, nobody listened to FM in the morning. So they were hiding me. And so for a guy that started out with, you know, no credibility, started out being hidden in the morning. And, I started doing a morning show, and that's when I became Scoot in the morning. And I started getting ratings, and they were shocked, and then another station hired me. So, it was great. I mean, I even though people were not listening then, they started to listen because of the show that I did. So, you know, I've been an underdog much of my life. So, you know, from this position of being an underdog, this outpouring of support has been really overwhelming for me. And I thank all of you for that. Things that I've heard from listeners and from friends and coworkers and family, and things that have come from strangers, it's just been amazing. And, you know, I never wanted this to happen to learn lessons in life, but I'm also happy to try to find the important gifts that come from these things that happen that we don't really like, or the things that we think are so inconvenient and so bad. I wrote an op-ed blog about this. It is on our website at wwl.com. If it is not, it should be on our Facebook page very soon. And if you do want to join us with a comment about anything we're talking about this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And we have lost another iconic rocker from the past. Peter Tork, bass player from the Monkees, has passed away at the age of 77. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On our pop culture calendar, it was on this day, February the 21st, 1990, Milli Vanilli won a Grammy for Best New Artist. Well, you know what happened, right? They were caught lip-syncing. In fact, didn't this track get stuck when they were doing some big performance? So, yeah, Milli Vanilli won Best New Artist this day in 1990, and then it was exposed that they were lip-syncing, they were liars, they were cheaters, and they later gave up their Grammy. And, that kind of ties into this story about Jussie Smollett, the actor from the TV series Empire, which is done in Chicago. He was attacked in Chicago and claimed it was a hate crime, and then people questioned it, and then he got all upset and even broke down crying that people didn't believe him. And as it turns out, now there are more and more questions about whether or not he's telling the truth. He was arrested. His bail has been set at $100,000. He has been told to surrender his passport because I guess they thought he was a flight risk. But, you know, this is a horrible thing to do. This is the epitome of selfishness, if you think about it. The epitome of selfishness. I'm going to use the fact that people attack my group, two of my groups. I'm gay, I'm black. I'm going to use the fact that people hate these two groups that I stand up for, that I represent. I'm going to use that and get some publicity. That's what it seems like. And then the guy was not really cooperating with police. And so there were so many holes in the story, I didn't notice it right away. But a lot of you did notice those inconsistencies in the story. I didn't pay attention to it in the beginning. But, you know, it seems like the guy was just really taking advantage of the hate that he probably spends much of his life fighting against. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Yes, I'm Scoot, and it is so great to be back with you. From uptown, Anthony, you're on WWL. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm okay.
And I hope you feel better. That was wrong what happened to you, and I ride motorcycles, so... The person not stopping just didn't make any sense. But yeah. This is what I wanted to comment on. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, Dorothy Taylor put in a proposal for carnival organizations that if you couldn't let everybody in, minorities, blacks, or whatever, that you could no longer parade on the city streets. Well, Comus took advantage of that. They said, well, we're not letting anybody in, so they don't parade anymore. Comus used to be the last parade on Carnival night to pass. And may I say, one of the regular parades, no bands, just regular floats.
Right.
And they decided before they let anybody in of color or anything else, they wouldn't parade. But everybody else decided to go along with the program and open their charters up to everybody. Now, we have Zulu with white people in their organization. Now, when they paint their face black, is this going to be some sort of blackface thing? And now they're even asking the Zulu people that are black about painting their face. And I wonder how this was going to go. I can side with the Zulus because it's a tradition and they've been doing it for years. And if somebody white joins the Zulu organization and paint their face black, are they going to be criticized or ridiculed or whatever? That's my question.
Well, Anthony, don't you think a lot of it has to do with where the message comes from? You know, I've talked a lot about this, and I side with the Zulu on this. And for Take 'Em Down NOLA to, at this point, say they should stop doing this, I think it exposes Take 'Em Down NOLA as an organization that is really looking more for publicity than righteousness. It couldn't have just occurred to them that this is a bad thing. Why didn't they talk about this before? So I think, again, it exposes the superficial aspect of that, the motive of that organization. But if Zulu, as a black organization, is from the very beginning, if they're, I guess, in a way mocking the idea that blacks cannot be in entertainment, so whites would wear blackface, to me, they were kind of mocking that by wearing blackface. That mm-hmm. if that's a tradition, then if they invite white people in or Hispanics or Asians, yeah, you got to wear blackface. I don't think that is an insult to blacks. Now, again, I'm saying that this is from my perspective, and everybody has a different perspective. But from my perspective, I don't think that fits the definition of being an insult to blacks.
And I don't either, Skip. Scoot, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I thought the same way, but I'm thinking outside the box with the way other people perceive blackface, you know, as it being racially motivated and, you know, and down in blacks. But now if it's okay for them to wear blackface as a Zulu, what makes it so bad otherwise? And I do understand the history of blackface, but I'm just trying to show you the way we get politically inclined about certain things at certain times, but it don't sit all the way across the board, is what I'm saying.
All right, Anthony,
I have no problem with it.
Don't you think it goes back to the perspective of where it comes from? For example,
right.
And I've used this example many times. If somebody who is like really thin, if somebody who has a great body is a comedian and he's on stage making fun of fat people, that's different than a guy who's overweight making fun of people who are overweight. And
right.
So since this comes from them, it's different than a white person just wearing blackface, which blackface to me, the definition of blackface is different from somebody dressing up like a black artist. For example, Michael Jackson or your favorite rap artist. Dressing up like those people is different because you're imitating a specific person. To me, that doesn't fit the definition of blackface, which was the epitome of a time when America was very racist because blacks couldn't even perform in performances. I'm going to have to get to news, Anthony. I appreciate your call. If you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text number is 870-870. I'm Scoot, and we will be back with more of your comments. I'm going to find a way to get to your text as well. I'm Scoot on WWL. Hey, you know what? I just thought this song was fitting as I get back on the air today, and I want to thank everybody at WWL, Program Director Diane Newman, and our show producer and Assistant Program Director Todd Manassas, and Butch Landry, and Scott Colomb, and so many people have helped me do the show from my apartment because I'm not able to get around, so I might not be doing the show if they didn't set this equipment up downtown. But, you know, for those of you who work at home all the time, I wouldn't want to do this. I mean, I enjoy going into the station. I enjoy being part of that scene, and I don't know that I would want to sit here and do the show in my apartment every day, although it really is convenient. Okay, so I finally I found a way to technically get to your text, so now I've got your text up, and here's a text that says, I don't agree with much of what you say, but I'm glad you're still here. God bless. Another text says, Zulu crew uses black makeup as part of their costume. This is not considered blackface to me. Another comment is saying, glad to hear your back, Scoot. That's from Danny in LaPlace. Thank you, Danny. And here's a comment, Zulu war makeup is not blackface. Well, that's an interesting way to look at it because, you know, yeah, maybe it's not really blackface in the way that we see it. I'm watching live video now of Jussie Smollett, who is just leaving the courtroom. I mean, apparently the guy's a big liar. And apparently the guy did the unthinkable thing of lying, of using hate against blacks in the LGBT community to get publicity. And one of the things going around is that he wasn't happy with his salary. So he was trying to increase his profile to earn more money. And then I've got a text here that says, poor Jussie, he only makes $60,000 an episode. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And from Metairie, Howard, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, I've been here before, but glad to hear you back. No comment on Bob Mitchell, but he's no Scoot, okay?
Well, I'm glad to Bob does a great job, and I appreciate him sitting in for me when he
right.
came.
I have a question because I don't think it's come out. Well, I've crossed that intersection many times. Did he run a red light? Did the motorcyclist run a red light when you were in the crossing zone or not?
Well, traffic was stopped because at that intersection, it's an intersection where a lot of cabs and Uber and Lyft drivers pull up, and they try to get that position right there to pick up passengers, to pick up their fares at the corner of Bourbon and Canal. And so the intersection was mostly blocked, and people were walking. There was this opening. So technically, I don't know the answer to that question, and I've thought back on that, but I'm going with the flow of the traffic, and then zipping around these cars that were blocking the intersection were a couple of motorcycles, and one of them hit me.
Right. And my question is about the cameras, which are supposed to be for safety. Usually it's pretty, they get the license plates and, you can see them. But in this particular case, didn't get the license plate because they were moving too fast. So does that kind of bring up a critique of the cameras, and they're not useful unless someone's just sitting there parked? And glad to have you back, Sue. I'll sign up again.
All right. Thanks, Howard. I mean, look, I think that's a fair thing to bring up about the cameras. But even when you put cameras in place, whether it's body cams for police officers or crime cameras or traffic cameras, even if you put cameras up, that's no guarantee that everything is going to be fine and that it's going to solve all of the problems. So there obviously are some flaws. It's not 100% effective if this guy was going so fast that they couldn't get a real good identification of him. From Marrero, Gene, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoo.
Hi, Gene.
How you doing? I ain't talked to you no time, no see.
It has been a while.
Yep, how you been?
I've been okay.
Well, I was thinking about you because I heard about the accident. My girlfriend of mine called me up the other night and told me about it, and I'm glad you're back. Well, I was in a car accident with one of my caregivers, and now my eyes are completely damaged. I'm almost completely blind. And we try teaching me, we try to get me to use my cane. Mm-hmm. And when I'm limping all the time, I'm not able to use a cane, so I figure I use my walker. We went out to one of the medical supply places. We got me one of the push brake triangle walkers. Yeah. It's a lot better for me, and I love it. And now I'm coming around better. I told you I got an iPhone, right?
Well, no, this is breaking news, right?
Yes, it is. I'm doing good, and okay. I got an Alexa, and I also got an Echo Show.
Okay.
And I love it, and I'm still doing my medical equipment research, just having some fun and doing some other things, going places with my caregiver. But I am going to be okay because I'm a fighter. Good. But that day I came home from my accident, I went to sleep for a while, and I said, no, I can't handle this. I'm going to go in the kitchen and do some housework. So I went in there, and I went to do some dishes because it made me feel better by doing that. And after that, I went back to sleep.
Oh, God bless you, because doing dishes never made me feel better about anything.
Oh, you got to keep on praying, Scoop, because don't ever give up. Don't let disability drop you down, because
I'll be fine. All right. Gene, I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're doing okay. Dishes make you feel better? Doing dishes? No, I don't know. I guess there's other things that I guess would make us feel better. Anyway, Gene brings up a point that I talked about earlier, and I talk about it in the op-ed blog that I wrote for our website and Facebook page. And that is that, I'm going to walk again. I'm in pain, and it's going to be a rough few weeks, maybe a couple of months after surgery next week. But I'm going to walk again. And many people get involved in accidents, and they never walk again. So I consider myself to be one of the fortunate ones, even though you look at me right now and you see me sitting here with my leg propped up in my apartment doing the show with this equipment around me, this doesn't seem like a good situation, and it's not, but again, I still realize how fortunate I am. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, number's 260-1870, and our text number is 870-870. I'm Scoot, and hang on, we are coming right back with more of your comments on WWL. Yes, I'm still standing. I'm not really going anywhere, but I am. I'm standing. I mean, crutches are a bitch. It's not easy to get around on crutches, and I'll have to see in the long run if this is the best option for me. Here's a text that says, "I don't agree with much of your show, but I love how you have the patience with those types of callers. I couldn't do it." Here's a text that says, "Good to have you back, Scoot. I hope your recovery goes well, and don't worry, you're a strong man. Everything is going to be all right. Keep your head up, brother." Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm finding a lot of positive things about where I am right now, even though it doesn't look very positive if you look at me or think about this. So that's good. And really, thank you for all of your text. And you know, I love the ones that are from people that say they don't agree with me, but you know, they wish me well. What's cool about that is that it shows that there is humanity behind the politics. And on this show, that's all I ever try to promote. That's all I ever ask for. Because I know you and I are not always going to agree. And when I'm very definite with some of my opinions, then there will definitely be people who disagree. And that's okay. But it's sad when people resort to personal attacks. And this goes for the politicians as well. From New Orleans, Mimi, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I'm so glad that you're back and feeling a tad bit better, at least better enough to work.
Thanks, yeah.
I want to address the Take 'Em Down NOLA specifically. Last year, I created this Foreverly Circle Mardi Gras bead, and I was completely targeted by Malcolm Zuber, Take 'Em Down NOLA, and Jarvis DeBerry. And I can totally speak to this because I have experience. What happens is Jarvis starts out with an opinion piece, and then Malcolm and Take 'Em Down NOLA will follow it up with a press conference. And they get everybody whipped up into a frenzy, and then next thing you know, Zulu's not going to have their tradition anymore. So I think it's time that everybody start to get smart about what's happening. I can tell you Take 'Em Down NOLA is made up of like five people. You know, it's Malcolm Zuber, it's Quest, it's Gemma, Gabrielle Gemma.
Well, there's no need to name. I mean, I understand what you're saying. We don't need to name names. I'm not trying to protect them, but I agree
all out
that
there in the press.
I agree that they appear to be an organization, and I thought about this before as well. But they appear to be an organization that is more interested in publicity than in doing what is really right. That doing the right thing is not as important as doing something that gets them publicity to make it seem as if they're doing the right thing. And this business about Zulu no longer wearing blackface is so opportunistic that I think it really exposes their real mission.
Yeah, because there's an agenda there, and I think what's happening here is we have folks that understand our traditions because they, you know, whether you're born and raised or you've lived here for 20 years, and then there are people who maybe have only been here for 5 years, 10 years, maybe since Katrina, and they're coming from places where maybe how we live and how we do things in New Orleans is a little bit strange. You know, after Katrina, I moved to Norfolk, Virginia. I usually had wine at my kids' birthday parties. You know, they all looked at me like I was nuts. Okay, so then people come into town to New Orleans. They see how we live. They see, oh, look, Lulu, everybody has blackface. Oh, look, everyone's hanging out around Lee Circle. Look, they're all happy. They're catching bees. I mean, we have things that don't upset us, but we're letting other people who come in with their values and what they think is okay, and they're imposing it on the majority of this community. And I just think it's time that everybody realize that that's what's happening, and you don't have to take it. You can just say, no, I don't agree. And they can have their traditions. The black communities have their traditions. White communities have their traditions. Hispanic communities have their traditions. Why can't we all just live together like we have forever in this city?
You know, I agree with that.
We party together?
I agree with that, and I appreciate you bringing up that point of view. But there are going to be things that come up that are clearly unfair that should change. You know, you could make the argument many years ago, well, you know, look, we're living together fine. I mean, blacks are sitting in the back of the bus, in the back of the streetcar, and they're not welcome at the counter of a restaurant, a soda fountain. They're not welcome at the counter. You know, we've been living like this for a long time, so that's just the way it is. No, that needed to change, and some things need to change. But this business about using the concept of blackface, and a text a moment ago just brought up a really potent point, and that is that when you think about how Zulu is dressed, isn't that more war paint than it is blackface? I hadn't thought about that, but now looking back on it, my recollection of all of those times of seeing Zulu, it seems like that's really more what it's about. But the idea that suddenly because of this turmoil over blackface, that an organization is going to take advantage of this moment, again, I think it exposes the group as a group that has the motive of relevance. Their motive is not truly righteousness. It's relevance. And it's relevance for them. And there are people who will use victimization as a way to gain popularity and to gain money. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. Really glad to be back with you. I'm feeling okay. And we'll be back on WWL. You know, this weekend, Mardi Gras parades are cranking up, and Family Gras is taking place this weekend. We'll talk more about that coming up in the next hour. I'm Scoot. Really glad to be back. Not really totally comfortable right now, but, you know, all this is temporary, and it will be just fine. You know, I thought about something. I was watching Channel 4 Eyewitness News this morning. The Audubon Institute came in, and they had a cricket king cake. Now, you know, people do interesting things with king cakes now. I mean, that was just the traditional king cake when I was growing up. But they did a cricket king cake. Okay, I know, but beyond disgusting, here's what I'm thinking. Wouldn't that be like the Audubon Zoo showing up with, like, some kind of like animal parts on one of the animals that they have? Like, oh, here's the cougar king cake. Here is the llama king cake. Here's the alpaca king cake. Here's the elephant king cake. You enjoying this? I mean, it's like it's kind of the same thing. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And from Mandeville, Greg, I've got time for a quick comment before news. Welcome to the show. Hello, Greg. All right, sounds like we lost contact with Greg. I've got a text here from somebody who says that they have seen people hit dogs and get knocked off their bikes and can't imagine how this person hit me and didn't get knocked off their bike. I can't explain it. I mean, I went through the motorcycle class. I have a motorcycle endorsement on my driver's license. I guess the way you hit something and where you are, and I mean, there's so many factors involved there. I can't explain it. It would have been poetic justice if the guy would have been hurt too, but he kept on going, and maybe he didn't hit me head on. It was a wide enough bike to where, you know, some aspect of it hit me and knocked me out and knocked me down. But look, you know, the good thing is I'm here. I hope they catch the person, because the mentality of doing that seems linked to the general mentality of doing whatever the hell you want to anyone you want and taking whatever you want. And that's a mentality that should not be tolerated by anyone. I'm Scoot. We'll have a lot more to talk about in the next hour. We'll be back on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.